Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Beautiful music, Lungishezi, Uyakhonzeka. Ah, what a song, praising our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tuned into Heart to Heart with myself and Pomuko. And right now we're connecting with my first guest for this Friday afternoon, Muruti Thabang Mofokeng. Welcome to Heart to Heart, and how are you doing this afternoon, my good sir?
We're doing good, Lunalekai.
No, all is well on our side. All is well. Pretoria is quite sunny and hot. I must say, I'm enjoying the weather today. Muruti, what do you have for us this Friday afternoon?
I just want us to reflect on the subject of the love of God.
Okay.
The love of God, and do so in a way that takes us, through the Old Testament, obviously not in every instance, but some kind of a historical approach to it. The love of God through the Old Testament, what are the lessons through the story of God and Israel into the coming of Christ itself?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would want to talk about.
All right.
And the main thing in doing so is to make sure that, again, because the subject of the love of God is quite an important one, but that we think concretely about God's love.
Mm.
We think concretely about it because I think when we do, there are lessons, important lessons, and there are attitudinal issues that need to be adjusted to. You know, we need to adjust ourselves, my Google Aruna, towards the concept of the love of God, because some of us, sometimes in the way we think about God and the way we think about His love, we are not informed by, number one, scripture. Number two, by reality in which, of course, scripture gets enacted.
Okay.
Scripture is lived in context. But when we are not informed by scripture and the reality into which scripture manifests itself, then we have ideas about God and His love, or the love of God, that cannot sustain us in our Christian walk with the Lord.
Okay.
So that's the thing that I want us to really look into. Once in a while, in my task as a minister of the gospel, you would teach the church, you would show how things work out in real life, you would give whatever necessary encouragement towards doing certain things. But once in a while, it's important that we reflect back into those things that inform the people that we are.
Okay.
So the love of God is one of those things. And I think it's important then to say, amongst other things, just a consideration of the aspect of the love of God, just a consideration of that, and then address the love of God and human reality with Israel as the main informant, as I said.
Okay.
The love of God, human reality, Israel as the main informant. Somebody once asked a question which was, it must have been unfair. It may seem to make sense. You know, when people are quoting each other and the other one says, "I love you," and of course the expectation by the one who says, "I love you," is that the other would, I suppose, just say yes or something. But it's not always the case. So in this instance, somebody said, "I love you," to another person, and the other one said, "Why?"
Imagine. Ufunani, why are you telling me you love me? Ubatlang.
Now you have to explain yourself.
Yeah.
Explain your love as to the reasons behind your love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mentioning that because I want to say that love, and with God's love as the background, love's self-expression, and love is its own reason.
Wow.
Love seeks self-expression, and it is its own reason, meaning there should not, cannot, in the ultimate sense, be a reason beyond love.
Okay.
And that is an important question. And this is why we are so hard-pressed in our daily walk with the Lord and with each other in the loves we show, right? The loves that we show to each other. We are hard-pressed when we think of God and His love, because in the many categories and instances of, you know, perceptions that we see love manifesting in, we also know that at the very top of it is that form of love that has no, it has no conditions to it.
Yeah.
You know, it comes, it's pure, it's intense, and yet it has no conditions bestow it, because none of us can afford that love. Mm. None of us can rise to meet the standard of that love if it was to be expressed.
Mm-hmm.
To say, well, this is love. Here you can have it, but now you must do 1, 2, 3. None of us would make it.
Yeah, sure.
So that's where you then have love that comes in its purity as a self-giving, as its own reason, as not seeking anything else from us because we are just quite incapable of meeting it.
Mm.
And that is love that we ultimately have to come into the language of Scripture, that God is love. Love in that way brings us closer to what God is like.
Mm. Okay.
Where you are loved without condition. We can imagine it. We can try to mimic to a certain degree. I don't know if we have the capacity to rise to it in our daily relationships.
Okay.
To so love without conditions. Maybe the love of a parent to a child somehow communicates something of that nature, but I'm not sure to what degree.
Mm.
Again,
yeah.
I'm just not sure.
Mm.
But aspect of God's love, love seeks self-expression, and it is its own reason.
Mm.
Love, in this case, God's love, is spontaneous, meaning it is not occasioned by any human need.
Yeah.
It is not responding to human need,
mm-hmm.
because it is its own reason. It therefore does not come because a human was a precondition to it.
Hmm.
It is spontaneous.
Okay.
It does not necessarily relate or rather respond to what we are, to which then we are the precondition and God then answers in love. No, God's love is spontaneous. And I think in this case, it's when we make sense of the fact that God in his trinity of persons, God has always lived in mutual love. Basically, the Trinity speaks of mutual love between the three persons of the Godhead, eternally shared in the Godhead. And we, as God's creatures, have the privilege of being invited to participate in this trinity of persons that eternally coexist in love. Now, of course, these are huge things, I'll admit. they are huge things, but I think it's sometimes important that we reflect on what informs the ideas we have of God and what informs the expectations we have about God or from God, concerning God, and ultimately each other.
Mm.
It is this very issue, the triune God, the one God who eternally exists in three persons, and that very difficult thing for us to wrap our hands around. There is an expression of mutual love among the three to which we are invited to participate.
Mm-hmm.
And to have a taste of.
Yeah.
And that is our privilege, right? That is our privilege. In other words, in simpler terms, there is no reason why we were created.
Hmm.
Well, we can come up with some verse here and there that tries to say, no, God created us to worship him as if he needed, he had a need to be worshipped.
Yeah.
Such that then if we want to deal with him, because, you know, the area of need, here's the thing. If you want to deal with anyone, You may want to interest yourself in the area of need, because the need is the position and the place of weakness.
Mm.
Because if you can have a sense, what is it that a person needs, then seek to meet the need, you already know you are likely to manipulate that person if you constantly say, "I am the one who meets the need you have."
Mm.
That kind of a situation. Such that then if I withdraw my meeting of your need, I impoverish you.
Mm.
Now, we can't exactly think of God in that way, that there was a need in God to be worshipped, so much so that eventually he created us to worship him. Such that, of course, then we can deal with God. We can punish God by withholding our worship, which feeds into his need. Nah, forget it. God created us out of love.
Hmm. Sure.
Not because he needed to be worshipped.
Mm-hmm.
But therefore, we are not doing God a service by worshipping him.
Hmm.
It's not an argument to not worship God.
Yeah.
It is just that you are not doing God a favor in worshipping him.
Sure.
Because in that case, worship is an expression of creaturely awareness.
Mm.
I am a creation of this incredible being, and the only best way I can ever respond to all the giftings that God has bestowed on me is to worship him.
Hmm.
Meaning, it is not out of a need in God that I worship him.
Okay.
I am doing so out of awareness of what I am towards him. Hmm. And realizing that what he has done in me and around me and for me is so much so that there's no other best way to respond but worship.
Yeah, you can't help it but worship.
I can't help it but worship God. Mm. Right?
Mm.
and then that is then the foundation of our own acts of worship are God's love, isn't it?
Sure.
It is because we are the result of God's love and our worship is founded upon that awareness that we are just seeking to respond to this immense love.
Hmm. And
not because God needs.
You know, as you're talking, I think what comes to my mind is I think that's why many people struggle with relating to God as the Father, you know, because at times we sort of don't experience God's love because we have expectations, right? Like what you're saying, when it's not like when we worship God, it's not like we're doing him a favor, right? When he created us out of love. But many of us, when we got into Christianity or to be born again, we thought life was going to be easy. We thought it was going to be easy. It will be heaven on earth. You know, we're not going to go through challenges. And when things happen, we feel like he doesn't love us.
We are ill-equipped to respond to life because somebody sold us something that is not based completely in Scripture and the reality in which Scripture manifests itself.
Yeah, sure. Mm.
Therefore, we become disappointed. Mm. And this is how and why it becomes easy, therefore, for people to walk in and out of the relationship with God.
True. Mm-hmm. People
again,
do that. Mm.
Yeah. And which, again, is a misperception. It talks to... You know, there's something amazing in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Consider the psalmist. I think it's Psalm 102.
Okay.
He says, whither in the old English, whither shall I go? Where shall I go?
Mm.
To run away from God, paraphrasing it. He says, because even if I fly to the highest of heavens and go to the depth of the earth and go to the east or the west, or even envelope myself in the night, I cannot run away from God. And that consideration, that awareness, is at the very heart of a person who has a much more truer relationship with God.
Mm.
The awareness that there is no escaping God.
Right?
Mm-hmm. There is no escaping God. Now, escape suggests something terrible. The idea is there's no being out and away and off God.
Mm.
We can't. So the shopping around, we can shop churches. Because already we are doing it.
Yeah, move from one church to the other.
We do that, right? It's not the best of things, but we do that. Our culture encourages it.
Mm.
We are used to shopping. We can shop that. Mm. But to for us to not think that we can shop God is best.
Mm.
We cannot shop God because there are no many gods to shop, you know, between and among.
Yeah.
To go in and out of this one and to try and test. That's just what God and what he has done out of love, resulting in us as we are. And when we are aware of that, then realizing that we're thinking through everything we are and everything really we are, not in a very narrow individual sense, but from the individual to family to the bigger groupings of people to life, human life, and everything, you realize We are a creation of love.
Mm. Sure.
Love that is its own reason. There's no reason why we needed to exist but love. Spontaneous love that is not occasioned by need in us.
Mm.
Right? Our situations are not a precondition for God to love. He loves. Such that if our need, our human needs are not preconditioned, they are also not a sign of love in themselves.
Mm.
Our needs, when they are met, they should not suggest to us that we are more loved because our needs are met.
Amen. Because Murudi, I was about to say, what if someone is listening this afternoon and they feel like they've been praying for a child? I'll use that as an example. They God is love, and they know about the love of God, but they are married, they've been trusting God for a child, and God is, they feel like God is not meeting that need. Does it mean me, when I have a child, I'm more loved than the other one? You know, because sometimes we base the love of God on material things. Because I have a car, I have a double-story house, it feels like I'm more loved than the other person.
We commodify God's love.
It's
something to be had.
Mm.
And then if you can have it, now you can begin to increase it.
Sure.
Or decrease it as you consume it, right? So we are geared to thinking about God and His love in ways that are anti-scripture. They are completely out.
Yeah.
They may be actually more culturally sensible, but completely out of scripture. They are completely anti-scripture because they made God's love a commodity to be held.
Yeah.
And once you have it, now it means you might lose it or you might increase it. But any situation, any of the listeners who's listening to us now, any situation, particularly those very terrible situations for which, of course, you are grieving, you are praying, you are, you know, you spend sleepless nights on. The fact that they exist is not a sign of any less love. In the same way that somebody who is provided for in the same areas where you are crying, that's not a sign of more love by God.
Okay.
Because God's love is not a precondition, or rather, human need is not a precondition of God's love.
Okay.
God's love does not come and manifest because it is answering to human need. It is not. So it means a rewiring, rewriting of our entire ideas about God and His relation to us and the manifestation of God to us. When the needs, however deep and pressing they are not in themselves an exercise, or rather an exhibit, an evidence of God has withdrawn, that's why we are in need. And when we are provided for, God has approached, God has come, that's why we are provided for. It makes for a very unsettled Christianity.
Sure.
People who subscribe to ideas like that have a yo-yo experience of Christianity. You know yo-yo, you know yo-yo.
Yeah, it goes up and down, up and down.
Yeah. It starts from you, then you throw it away, and then it comes back to you. But you can't have a relationship that is like that with God. Sometimes you are here, sometimes you are there, sometimes you are here, and this is your relationship with God. It's a terrible one. It makes for a very inconsistent expression of our own thankfulness unto God. And therefore, we will fall foul of scriptures like, rejoice always. How dare anybody ask anybody else to rejoice always? Always. Always. How do we do that? How is that even possible to be done? It is possible when we decouple, we take off this connection we have made between provision or lack and God's love.
Yeah.
Because in lack or in abundance, I can continue to be the same person who worships my God with the same intensity, because my lack or abundance has nothing to do with the love, the quality of the love of God. I am loved.
I am loved.
I am loved.
Amen.
And this knowledge that I am loved, in lack, loved, in abundance, loved.
Come on now.
That knowledge is what raises people up from the doldrums.
True. Amen.
It is what inhibits you. Makes you rise up. Because it makes the depth of your being well up like a fountain of praise. But it means decoupling ourselves from the kind of culture that surrounds us and the ideas that have infiltrated our understanding of the Christian faith from the culture. It means taking ourselves off from that. In order to, you know, that's why it's important that we actually make this reflection on the love of God.
Yeah.
The love of God that seeks self-expression and with its own reason is spontaneous, not occasioned by any human need.
Amen. Amen.
A giving love. The nature of God's love and the nature of every love in any form is giving. We meet with this in scripture in John 3, verse 16, that verse that even if you want to last at the half very next but from the love to hate it. But at least that one you know you need
yeah,
to know.
You better know
God
it.
So loved.
Yeah.
God so loved. And note the contradiction in the expression of that verse. For God
so loved
the world. What
yeah?
did he do? He gave. Wonderful. So the action of love is giving, self-expression, giving.
Yeah.
But notice, he gave his own begotten son. Now, of course, we know what actually that whole phrase captures. In reality, that was Jesus living a very miserable existence, human existence, from the height of being God to living life as a creature, experiencing human life as a creature of God, and dying. He gave his begotten son, his only begotten son. That love of God that gives of itself, it subjects itself to torturous human experience.
Yeah.
That's the love. That's what we're talking about.
I hear you.
The spontaneity, the self-expression, the fact that it is its own reason, it does something that it makes sense to itself.
Yeah.
And then it is willing, and it has done so historically, that it subjected itself to death because it wanted to reach us, to give to us in that way. And we are Christian because of actually the story of that, which is the pinnacle of the entire thing, the story of God's love giving itself in the manner it did through Jesus Christ, which has given birth to this community, the multi-ethnic, multicultural, multi-language, multi-everything you can think of, community of believers in Christ, held together by us looking at Jesus Christ as done and understanding it as God's best expression of his love, the love that pursues us to death.
Yeah.
The love that for as long as we are alive, it is not late. It is still, it is still time. We look at that other man who was crucified with Christ there. There were two other men crucified with Christ. We see that other man in the very last hours, many minutes of his own life. And he turns to Christ when the other one mocks. He turns to Christ and says, remember me.
Sure.
And he gets the assurance that he will be remembered, that indeed he will be in paradise. The love that pursues you to the very last breath.
Yeah,
the
amen.
Amen.
Muruti, we're running out of time. Can I ask that you wrap it up with praying for our listeners, especially for those struggling, in accepting or experiencing the love of God? They are going through what they are going through. They feel like they are not being loved. Let us just pray with them and pray for them. Stand in the gap for them. In less than a minute, if you can pray for us.
Thanks, Omega. Let's pray. That day, we want to thank you because of the love that Scripture talks to us about. We want to thank you because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the manifestation of your self-giving love that has given of itself that we may exist, and now here we are, children of God, born of the blood of Jesus Christ. Give ourselves, we are grateful. We want to pray this morning and pray for each one of your people across the breadth of this country. We do move in different circumstances of our lives, different issues that we're meeting and coming across, and these things hitting us in different ways. But we pray that we are sustained by the knowledge of the love that has reached us. We are sustained by the knowledge of the love that continuously gives of itself. But we are sustained by the knowledge, Lord, of the love that never takes a turn but keeps coming towards us. May we be raised up. May those that are discouraged right now, Lord, be raised up. Know that it is not in the abundance of anything, nor is it in the lack of anything that the Lord loves and loves truly. They, like all of us, have been loved, we are loved, shall be loved. And for your love, Lord, we thank you, we bless you, we pray that we find strength in your love to praise you every time, in all situations, all the time. For indeed, you are worthy of all the worship, Lord. May your name be glorified today, and may your name be glorified forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Muruti, Pastor Thaba Mofokeng, talking about the love of God. We appreciate the talk this afternoon. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, and do enjoy your weekend.
Same to you,
ha. And right now, we're going to quickly take a musical break at 1. I'll be reading the news.
Share the love.
Share the truth. Share the life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Imagine a place where young people can get answers to difficult questions, seek advice on issues that they struggle with, listen to uplifting music, and find relevant and godly content that can help them shape their identity. All this while also having fun in a safe space and environment. Well, the new I Am Youth website is just the place where you can find this and so much more. Go to iamyouth.co.za for an experience that will stay with you for life. I Am Youth. Life explained.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.